Okay, I decided to make a new recording. I decided to make a new recording to talk about need. Sexual need in kind of the conversation of do I need you? Do you need me? That conversation between partners. But a need that doesn't come with a demand and a tremendous sense of lack. I like to think about that need as deeply tied to a sense of desire. And what real desire is tied to is a kind of resonance, a kind of magnetism that recognizes that we don't live in a vacuum, that there's something in that which we desire that has the power to change us, to reveal ourselves to ourselves, to reveal something to us. And in that, there's actually an incredible vulnerability and a tremendous humility to recognize that we actually need each other on this planet, in this world. It is our need and our desire that creates these opportunities for engagement. And sexually, there is a possibility in sexuality to give birth, to create each other through the sexual act, because there's something that we touch inside of that act that isn't just an act, it's an exchange that we don't get to touch in the same way in other ways. So perhaps we can think of sex as not needing to get something, but needing to touch something, a desire to touch something in ourselves, in our partners, in life. And it's in that other person that a door opens. And it's actually where we feel a tremendous amount of vulnerability. That we living on this planet, that you living in your partnerships, that you actually do need each other. It's not about the promise of hyper independence. And these practices are not about the possibility of cultivating oneself out of ever needing anything from someone else. Or be, you know, like having so much self-practice that you're all good on your own. That's not what it's about. It's about coming first into self-reverent cultivation with one's own sexuality so that when you come to a partner, you've made contact there. You are already aware of the incredible landscape of beauty and wonder and awe and sensation and God that lives there. So you're aware of what you're bringing to your partner. And yes, you come with need. You come with a vulnerability. You come with an admittance that in your eyes, I become something different. In your witness, I get to feel and see and be parts of myself that are longing to be here in my humanity. And that's what we get to do for each other. This is where we come really back into the context of specificity. We have such a desire to be seen in our specificity, to be seen for the huge oneness that we are, but also for our incredible, kaleidoscopic, unique, beautiful, snowflake-esque humanness. All of those nuances and quirks and beauties and vulnerabilities to be seen and loved in those. And that is the power that we have to give each other, to not just see each other as people, to not see your partner as just a body, a person, the person you sleep next to, the mother of your children, not all these roles, but as the uniqueness that they are. That's so much of the longing. When we can feel held in the gaze of another and seen in our immense particularities, our immense specificity, there's a way that we are invited into our humanness. And that invitation into our humanness invites us into a deeper relationship with God, with spirit, with the divine, with the universal. There's a writer who wrote a book in the 40s called If You Want to Write. Her name is Brenda Uhland. But she has this thing that she says, we come to the universal through the particular. It's through detail, through the very specificness of our lives and each other and the way we see the world, the way the light is falling just so on the leaf outside, the way the bird is chirping in front of the sound of the car horns, the way that your partner's hair falls on their face, the way there's a certain noise or sound or smell, all of those things and the appreciation and love of those become a doorway into the universal. So we have a circular desire that way, and a need, I would say, to see each other through the eyes of specificity, as well as to acknowledge our need to be able to be the specificity that we are, to not lose ourselves in generality, to not become vague. When we become vague in our humanness, we are holding back. So much of our love is actually what we're holding back. And there's a beautiful thing we can do for each other in our seeing of each other. And when this comes into the erotic realm, that is incredibly sexy. That creates tremendous sexual fire and beauty. When what is happening is that there is an erotic landscape happening because of the specificity of who you are and who's in front of you. That you're not just interested in having sex with a body that is whoever, but that it's that particular body, that particular partner in that particular moment, in that particular mood that you see and feel and hear and adore, and your willingness to bring all of your particularness. This is why imaging and media can tend to dull us, because we move away from our particularities, from our uniqueness and specificity, and we begin acting out vagueness and acting out things that are general rather than specific, out of some feel like a need we have to fill some script that's been given to us from the outside of what sex is. That's when sex becomes boring and dull and confusing and unsatisfying on a deep level. When there can be an intimate interaction in specificity, there can be a kind of sexual satisfaction that happens in far more subtle ways than what we perceive of as the best sex ever, right? Which is like, what's the picture of that? You could have the most satisfying erotic moment and never reach anywhere near the heights of climax because you feel so deeply seen and met in that specificity. And that's your gift that you can give to a lover, to invite them into. And this is also where a tremendous honesty and vulnerability comes into the picture, to be willing to speak, to let each other know how you see those specificities, how you want to be seen, how you do see each other. Sometimes love is one of the most vulnerable things to express. That is one of the most erotically compelling elements in lovemaking, is to be able to communicate to your lover the kind of specificity that you see and that is turning you on and that you love. The other most erotic thing in lovemaking are the eyes, is eye contact. There's so much power in eye contact, so much vulnerability, so much seeing, and to really let that be there as a window and a portal of communication. I'm going to just tell one little story, I think, that illustrates this point really beautifully. That's always been pretty powerful when I share this with students. It was very powerful for me to hear. In one of Zhenzan's sexuality workshops several years ago, he did a little role play about, for example, about having, there was a female partner who was unsure whether her partner was, you know, on board for the kind of transformation that was happening in her, that she was worried that, you know, he wasn't going to be there for this huge shift that was happening for her. And Zhenzan basically did this role play, and what he said, he was playing her, and what he said to her, or as her, to her partner, is he said, "I am becoming someone I have never been before. Through this experience, I'm becoming someone I've never been before. And I need you to become that person. I need this. I don't need your support. I need you to be fascinated by who I'm becoming. Your support will make me sick. It's not the thing I need. I need your fascination in what it is that you're seeing me become moment by moment by moment. There is something very vulnerable about that, of recognizing that we can be kind of captivated with each other's specificity in a way that helps each other become, and that the role of support, supporting, there's something about that that's a little hands off." And he meant, "That will make me sick," meaning that will cause me to lose energy. That's not true intimate dialogue, support. I don't need your support. I need you to be in this with me, watching, seeing, front row seats for the becoming that is happening, and knowing that you have a hand in that piece of creation. So I like to share that, just, I think it gives a bit of a frame around the need piece and the specificity piece. And so at this point in our work together, we have covered tremendous amount of territory. I'm going to just kind of walk us through where we have traveled. That we began in a place of really reframing what sexuality actually is, of holding it in a completely different context, inviting elements of our childhood and our innocence into the conversation in a way that we likely never have. Being introduced to pieces of discernment and specificity, and really looking at what is our relationship with our life? Because life does not happen in any way divorced from our sexuality. And then we walked through attuning to energy, really taking a life inventory, looking at where we're losing energy, where we're gaining energy, and a really beautiful exploration of yin and yang. Our relationship to the masculine and feminine, where we've been misunderstanding things, where we've been holding back. And then moving into the wisdom of emotions and the five elements, the beauty of grief and anger and fear and love, that they're all a part of the tides and the changes of sex. And we don't have to be afraid of them. They come as great messengers with a lot of wisdom. And then we moved into self-love, sensitivity, and sensuality. So that's where we did the practice of self-touch that involved sensuality without necessarily the purpose of ejaculation or even touching oneself sexually, but really bringing sensuality and self-love into the equation. And we went from there into the teaching and the practice of self-cultivation, the place where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We talked about fantasy as a doorway into archetype, the relationship with ejaculation, with erection. And then from there into the teaching of the chthonic, of vulnerability, of messiness in the masculine and the feminine. And all of this has been, in some ways, just setting the stage for an exploration. There's no real ending happening in, like, the ending of this foundational material, because it's not, that's not what this is. This is material, and this is context, and this is practice that isn't finite, and it's not just information. It's alive. It's living material that has, that will continue to shift and change over time. And remember, at the very beginning of the course, I spoke about the fact that you will hear and take in exactly what you need to hear and take in right now. And if you were to go back and listen to this material in a month or 2 months or a year, you would hear and take in different things. And that is exactly like what the sexual experience is like. That is sexuality. There is no end point. There is no final learning. There is no final figuring out. This is a living experience. And the interest here is coming so deeply into awe of what this energy is, into sensitivity, into feeling, into the mystery, that it becomes a place to lead you forward and to really trust that it will continue to reveal and reveal wisdom. I just want to review the practices that we did that you still have with you. The very first thing we did is the sex settling position meditation, which is very, very simple. That's something you could do in 5 minutes with consciousness and breath in an office in the middle of the day. Or you could do the longer meditation. We did the breathing meditation, in which you're feeling the threshold of your skin beginning to blur, the lines between inner and outer, and there's a great, beautiful mutual gifting from what's inside you with what is in life, back and forth. We did some Qigong forms. We did sifting and dragon and loose fist with rain. We did sensual self massage and contact with self in a sensual contact, in a sensual context. The love letter to self is a beautiful practice to do again. Tender compression as a relationship with who you engage, but doesn't necessarily, it's not, doesn't have to be tied to the self-cultivation practice. And then, of course, we have self-cultivation. And then there's been this really beautiful free writing that has just been unbound, unbridled expression. Don't have to get it right. Just let it pour out. And this is a tool for you to continue to work with. There is something important about just letting expression come in the way that it wants to. Either punch that out on a keyboard or write it out. Handwritten can be very, very powerful, because things can come out in handwriting because it's a visceral connection. There's a different neural connection with the brain when you handwrite. That's really powerful. So what we're leaving with is this collection of practices. But what I also want to leave us with is, instead of a feeling of overwhelm, of like, I have all these practices and these things to learn and these things to know, and it's very complicated and there's all this stuff coming up. What do I do with it? That this isn't about fixing things or coming to know how to figure out and address everything. Yes, there is a place for, there's a kind of way to work with energy that's useful. And there are other layers and further information to go into this. But what I mostly want to leave you with is the simplicity of what this work really is. Tied in the great remembering, that what this is a great remembering. of where it is that you came from, which was sex, of the beauty and the essential gorgeous energy that that is that moves through you, and of the beauty of the messiness of humanity. We're not trying to get everything to live in a tiny little box. Life is wild. Nature is wild. It moves in cycles. It surges and expresses and wanes and waxes and moves into gestation and explodes into fire. It is a wild, gorgeous play of life and energy, and so are we. So I want at the end of this to really leave you with the simplicity of your own honesty, of the simplicity of what it is to love in any moment, to love yourself, to be gentle with yourself, to love your partner, to tell the truth to your partner, to be honest, to breathe, to stop, to listen, to feel, to celebrate, to feel joy, to ask questions, the full gamut, but to not let this become really, really complicated. And there's a huge amount of faith in this, faith and trust that you have been opened and opened yourself to something, to a really new foundation. It's like you're standing in a different room. The room that you used to be standing inside of that was called sex and sexuality, it's a very different room. And you can trust that there is a wisdom and an intelligence that's making its way from you, from the inside out in you, that will guide this practice and process. And there's a sincerity, a very deep sincerity, that you can also trust in your lovemaking, in your self-touch, in your questions, and in all of it. So I just leave you with that, with this recording. And I actually encourage you at the end that we start where we did at the beginning. I encourage you in a very quiet space to create a ritual for yourself around just this moment in time, and go back and do the conception meditation again. Give yourself time for that conception meditation. And then after that meditation, move into the sexual, into the sex settling position, and just hold yourself lovingly, reverently, with a kind of vow and devotion to your body and to the life that's moving through it. To know that that practice is so simple. It's really just a coming back to who it is that you are and to what is true and beautiful. Bringing sex and sexuality back into its rightful place of reverence, of life, of life-giving beauty and power, of creation. So with that, I bow to you. I take a deep bow to you as we also began. And this is not a final bow. This is a bow that is always present in the recognition of what this exploration really is. So with that bow, great gratitude and great reverence to you.